8:38, just enough time to check in with our good friend Dick Weiss, media critic extraordinaire, every Monday. Dick, good morning.
Good morning.
WeissWrite.com, also STLBeacon.org. You're doing the Larry Connors, huh? It's sweeping to the country this
year. Right,
this,
right. This actually, I'm emulating my younger daughter's boyfriend. I brought him into the barber with me, and I said, I want one like him.
I
look much younger as a result, unfortunately.
A little bonding with your soon-to-be son-in-law? We'll see. Plot thickens. All right. We were talking with John Marasek about this. The New York Times, some investigative reporting about the steroid issue, and Troy Glaus's name comes up here.
Right. We talked about this several weeks ago. I think it was last time was with Rick Ankiel.
Right.
And the Post-Dispatch is basically following in the wake of all these reports, but is not developing any of these stories itself. They seem to have basically, ever since Andro showed up in McGuire's locker, taken a pass on really investigating this. They're happy to follow up and ask for people's reactions, and they analyze. But basically, they've been sticking to the balls and strikes. I don't know whether this particular story is as big a deal as some. It's interesting the way that the steroids get passed around. The New York Times story really was not so much a disclosure story, but one that explained kind of how it worked, which I thought was very interesting.
It worked as simply as somebody got Troy Glaus in touch with this doctor who sent him steroids in the mail with a syringe,
right,
and Troy Glaus injected himself.
Yeah, and without seeing him. The interesting thing about this one is that Glaus was trying to recover from an injury.
Right.
They try to distinguish that from essentially enhancing your performance, as apparently Alex Rodriguez did.
Right.
And, gosh, if I were in his position and I wasn't getting better and somebody said, here's something that will make you better, gosh, I might try it.
It's also, I think, a lot of people, it sort of goes to the mindset of the player, because it takes four or five players and their reasoning and their mindset,
right,
as to why they did it. There was, in Troy Glaus's situation, he wasn't responding to treatment, came back, had a couple of monster years after he was healthy, maybe because of steroids, but it was pitchers who were barely holding on, maybe wanted to hold on another year or two, make a little more extra money. Really goes into the mindset of why a player would try and do something like
this. Yeah, it's a whole culture within which they operated that did not exist 20 years earlier, and maybe it's fading now as we speak. But in that era, I think people just felt that it was what players did.
Let me ask you this question. It's now reported that John Mozeliak, general manager of the Cardinals, is going to be out in Arizona where Troy Glaus is. He's on the disabled list. He's going to have a conversation. At some point, Troy Glaus is going to have to face the media.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. And I think he's probably, if he's smart, he's going to be honest and forthcoming and talk about why he tried it. And hopefully... he hasn't done it since then,
right?
And he can. I don't think the public's going to have a hard time welcoming him back. What's interesting is this the only thing that works? Taking steroids to recover from your shoulder injury? Is he ever going to get better?
Yeah.
Taking the more traditional legal path.
Right. Interesting. All right. Let's move on. Lee Stock is up.
Yeah, for like a minute. You know, I wrote you that note. It was Friday. I think it was Thursday or Friday. It spiked to like 45 cents, and it had been a low at 24. So you could nearly over a month have you, if you invested correctly,
if you put
doubled your
million,
money.
If you put 24 million, you could now get 48 million.
You know what? I did put a few thousand into the stock market in March.
Right.
But unfortunately, it was just in a little mutual fund, which didn't do nearly as well as Lee. Well, now Lee is back down into the mid 30s. But apparently, there's a. The reason that happened was that there is a company called First Trust Portfolios of Wheaton, Illinois, that doubled its stake in Lee Enterprises, according to an SEC filing. And apparently they believe that Lee is going to do better for a while. And is now the time?
Now the time. But they still say Lee is making money. It's just sort of their debt service is the issue there.
Yeah.
Some reporters are upset that there was a Los Angeles Times article or an ad that ran on the front page. Why are they so upset about that?
Well, you've seen these in papers across the nation from time to time, and in the Post-Dispatch not so long ago, somewhere in the middle of the paper, there'll be a story or an ad looking like a news story. And they'll put it, you know, in small print at the top of the piece, advertisement, and so on. But this story, what the Los Angeles Times did, they worked out a deal with NBC for one of those types of stories, but they put it on the front page. And there was a small print saying it was an advertisement, but it looked like a real story. It was written like a story. And Geneva Overholzer, who's at the School of Journalism at USC, said this appears to be the first major U.S. newspaper in modern times to have run a front-page ad in a format that could be mistaken for a news story. And the publisher said that he decided to run that ad despite newsroom objections because he was trying to ensure that the Times could continue to operate. And apparently they got a premium for doing that ad that way.
Right.
And so they reporters are outraged, but the publisher says, hey, we're in a survival mode here. And the Tribune Company, which owns the L.A. Times, of course, is in bankruptcy.
Right, and the L.A. Times has fired virtually everybody. And so,
right.
I mean, that's the story goes back, was that they told the editor to fire everybody. He said, no, that's going to ruin the quality of our product. They fired him, hired a new editor, and then he had to go fire everybody.
Right, and this is one of the nation's great newspapers, or
right.
was.
Yeah. All right, also some big news about Vermont now allowing gay marriages, and as a media critic, you're asking where's the coverage of all?
Yeah, very interesting. You know, when California basically rejected gay weddings, big hue and cry.
Right.
News story, very deserving of coverage, and then along comes Iowa and Vermont, which essentially are allowing gay weddings, and there was not so much coverage. There was some,
right.
but not nearly as much, and it makes you wonder if a lot of people are asking, are the media biased in this sense that they want gay weddings to be considered no big deal,
mm-hmm.
so undercover it when it comes up in the news, and I don't know. I suspect, you're talking to a guy who's sympathetic to gay weddings, but I do think that there probably was some bias in the way that this got covered.
Because you think that since it's now legal, there was less coverage because that's not that big of a story. That's just good news, so there's no reason to cover it.
There are a lot of people in this country who think that allowing gay weddings is the undoing of our culture.
Right.
And that's, a lot of people think otherwise, but it's worth covering and it's worth asking people about.
But you know what? It was covered. It wasn't like it wasn't covered.
Right.
And the other thing is.
But maybe not as much as like the first puppy.
Well, that's clearly a much bigger story.
Right.
But, you know, we're in sort of historic times. There's a lot of real news out there.
Right.
Not to say that this isn't real news. And it's sort of an old topic. It's been done. It isn't. There's nothing new to it. Story was they voted against it. They had the veto. They overrode the veto. There's the story. I don't think talk radio picked up on it a lot because there's a lot of other things going on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm actually fairly sympathetic to that point of view that it ought to be sort of normalized. It's somebody else's wedding is not going to shouldn't affect your marriage.
Yeah.
But, there it is.
What's the best story we've never read?
Well, you remember that book Tuesdays with Maury?
How could I forget
about
it?
How all the lessons we learned from someone's death. Well, this is a different take. Again, this is from the Los Angeles Times about a guy named Edwin Schneidman who's devoted his life to studying death and suicide and how people make that final passage. Well, he is at the end of his life, and a reporter Thomas Kerwin was following him. He hasn't died yet, but he's facing it. And he takes Edwin takes a very, a non-romantic view towards the end of life. Basically, when you hit the end of life, it's lights out and so what and big deal. And a very interesting story. And there's also a video piece with it that's even more effective, I think, where you hear from Edwin about what it's like at age 90 to face the end of your days.
So he's the one who's dying isn't very romantic about it.
No,
he's more, much more
no,
matter of fact.
You're not talking to Maury when you're talking to Edwin. No, sirree.
All right. We can find that at weissright.com.
Absolutely.
Weissright.com. Also, stlbeacon.org has some great stories in there as well. Dick Weiss, our media critic, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Okay.
Mike Shannon, voice of the Cardinals, up next, 850 on KTRS.
There are.